This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
You're listening to Catholic Weekend, episode number 297, for the week ending Saturday, November 28th, 2015. Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Catholic Weekend. I am trying to play my sound effect. Here we go. I'm Jeff Nielsen, also known as the Captain, Captain Jeff. And joining me today from Conyers, Georgia, Maria Johnson.
Howdy, hey. Oh, wait, that's somebody else's intro. Hi, guys.
From the plains of Oklahoma, Steve Nelson.
The chilly.
It's cold here. We're having a nice storm, so I'm glad to be inside talking with you. Oh.
Dude, that sounded like Frau Boo.
sounded like a horse. Yeah. Speaking of horses and rodeos, we have Father Corey Stika from.
Howdy, y'all! It's colder here than it is. At least we've got clear skies and sun, so we don't have to worry about ice. Hmm. I've been through those ice storms. They're not fun.
Well, how cold is it?
Well, it's 6 degrees here.
Yikes.
And it's not Celsius. That's Fahrenheit.
Fahrenheit.
Inconceivable.
Inconceivable.
Keep using that word. Do not think it means what you think it means.
Hello, everyone.
Today.
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, it's that. It's the Thanksgiving hangover weekend. And I don't mean necessarily alcohol. We're talking about stuffing ourselves silly with food and with family and all that, which is really good, right? But sometimes too much of even a good thing is too much, mm-hmm. So
sent all my people away to the football games today.
So what football game are they attending at this point?
They're at the Georgia Tech game. Or I think in this house you're supposed to say the Georgia Tech Georgia game.
Right. And what time does that start?
In an hour, I think, at noon.
So you're not going, apparently.
No.
Did you want to go?
Nope.
Okay. Nope. Did you use this show as an excuse for not going? Okay, that means yes, she did use this as an excuse for not going. That's good. Yeah. That's good. I'm always happy to be at, your service for excuses.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So there's no excuse.
So what is the prediction for the Georgia Tech Georgia football game today?
My prediction?
I mean, what are they saying? Is it going to be like a blowout? Is Georgia just going to make Georgia Tech look really bad?
Not always. I mean, it's
not always. Most of the time.
Georgia Tech wins every few weeks. Yeah. I think Georgia Tech wins every few years.
Yeah.
But I'm just bringing out all the. We were talking about being liquored up. What were you talking about? Hangovers.
Yeah, hangovers.
I guess I'll just have some consolation. I'll have a consolation meal when they get home.
Well, that's the neat thing about these rivalries. This is kind of the rivalry weekend for college football here in the United States, is that even if one team is like a nationally ranked team and the other isn't, you never, all bets are off, really, because it's such an emotional game, usually. And a lot of times we have these big upsets.
Yes. Well, last year it was such an epic upset that I don't think that they could pull it off 2 years in a row.
Yeah. Well, you never know. We can always hope.
You never know. You never know.
So, any big games in Montana this weekend, Father Corey?
No, they had their big, they call it the Cat Grizz game. Of course, they're very unoriginal because the Montana State is the Cats, the Bobcats, and U of Montana are the Grizzlies. So, Cat Grizz game. That was last weekend, I think it was, and it wasn't an upset. It was pretty much exactly as expected. So. U of Montana has always been much more dominant in football than Montana State. And of course, everybody here that goes to Montana State would lynch me if they heard me say that. But
it's a good thing that nobody in Montana listens to this show.
At least no one who really cares about the game. Let's put it that way. Oh yeah, it's that week before that game, everybody pulls out their jackets and their hats, you know, to fly the colors.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I know, Mr. Steve Nelson, that there's a pretty big game in your parts.
Oh yeah, yeah. They call it Bedlam. They've called it Bedlam since about 1904. And yeah, it makes people go insane here. It's Oklahoma State versus the boys from Norman, or as my sister calls it, Mordor.
Mordor. So the Cowboys, are they favored, or I guess the Oklahoma University of Oklahoma, they're favored, right?
Well, if you listen to the guys on TV, they think Oklahoma's going to win, and they win the majority of those but. You never know. And we got this such weird weather. It's cold, rainy, icy. There's no telling what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But whoever wins this game wins the Big 12 championship. So it's got a lot on stake.
So how has that affected? Where is it being played? Is it in?
Here in Stillwater.
Okay.
For the home team, yeah. We beat them last year unexpectedly. It was we were having a terrible year. Weren't supposed to beat them.
See?
And managed to win at the last minute.
That's what I mean. These things you really just never can tell.
Oh, I know, and it drives people absolutely insane here. People, oh.
Yeah. Some people just get way in too much into it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and they're usually a night game, so it means people will be here all day, hitting the bars all day. Mm. Bad things happen.
Yeah, that's not good.
So, I'd rather it's a morning game. You know, get it over with before people have a chance to get stupid. But I don't know what's gonna happen today.
Oh, they can start getting stupid the night before.
So do you actually have like ice over everything, or not too bad where you are in Stillwater?
The streets are wet, but there's ice on the trees and the power lines and the grass. But it should melt. It's supposed to get above freezing here this afternoon, but it's supposed to be drizzly and rainy.
But then it's a night game, so it gets cold again.
I know. So it'll be icy by the time the game's over with, which is not good.
Mm. Oh, well,
you have a team playing today, too, don't you, Jeff?
Well, I mean, you know, if you mean I went to a certain school. Actually, see, I'm pulling for two teams today, Georgia Tech, because that's where I went my freshman year, and Auburn University, and that's where I went the remainder of my college time. And they're playing the University of Alabama, which I think I forgot what their ranking is, but I think they're a top 10 team still, aren't they?
I know
they're up there. And and of course, Auburn is not anywhere to be seen, anywhere near the top 25. So it will be interesting. So, and what is that called, Maria? The Iron Bowl, they call it?
Yeah, they call it the Iron Bowl. Yeah. Do you know what a Crimson Tide is?
Yes, it's like, you ever been out in like the Gulf Coast, out in the Gulf waters, and you see this tide coming in, it's all red. It looks yucky. I think that's a crimson tide.
So it's an algae bloom.
Yeah. I don't know what. I don't think that's what Alabama, how they got their war call or war cry, Crimson Tide. That's not their mascot. Their mascot is an elephant. Not a lot of people know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's funny. I just looked it up. It even shows on Google just Alabama Crimson Tide. It doesn't show anything else. Yeah, and by the way, Alabama's ranked second.
Well, they call Alabama the Crimson Tide. Mm-hmm. Call me Deacon Blue.
Well, I just look.
Deacon Blue.
Okay.
You know, that's the band. I love them. I just can't think of
Steely Dan.
Thank you, Steely Dan. That's a Steely Dan song. You guys know what I'm talking about, don't you? Well, I know Father Corey does. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Are you just trying to make me look foolish? I see. I can do that all on my own. Thank you very much. So what does it say? How did they get the?
I was just having that conversation with my own children, who, because I was about to say I grew up. When they were growing up, I used to watch a lot of the same you know, TV shows that they listened to, watched, or the music that they listened to, because I was, you know, present for that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this year, for the first time in my professional teaching life, I have no relevant references in the course for my students. The things that I use to teach with as examples and things, are irrelevant. I have become irrelevant. My references are useless.
Oh, no.
Well, you're relevant to us.
Because we're all old.
Yeah, we are.
But yeah, so like if I had made like a Steely Dan comment, what? They don't know.
Yeah, that. Steely Dan, what is that? Some guy she knows named Dan who's Steely? What does that mean?
What is that?
Well, by the way, the Crimson Tide.
Well, they told me to go see. Yeah. Did you look it up?
Yes. Apparently, their colors are white and crimson, crimson red. And the first nickname to become popular and used by headline writers was the Thin Red Line. And then that was used until 1906. The name Crimson Tide is supposed to have been first used by Hugh Roberts, former sports editor of the Birmingham Age Herald. He used Crimson Tide in describing an Alabama-Auburn game played in Birmingham in 1907. So the game was played in a sea of mud, and Auburn was a heavy favorite to win. So that's
interesting.
Yeah. And then, of course, people always give Auburn University a bad time. They go, what is it? Are you the War Eagles? Or are you the Tigers, the Plainsmen, whatever? And it's Tigers. That's our mascot. But the war cry is War Eagle. So. And the name
makes
of our
perfect sense.
Paper. Yeah. That's when you think about it, it really makes no sense at all.
Any of those make sense at all.
But this is college. Come on. College sports. Does it really have to make sense? No.
Not at all. People are trying, though. At least they're trying to put some sense into the playoff system.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. So,
sorry, I had one of those relevancy things happen to me this week. I made the comment about, remember when you had to wait till after 7 o'clock on Sunday night to call home because of long distance rates? And they all glazed over and looked at me. And it's like, what?
I know.
Remember that? What about collect calls?
Yeah.
Collect calls, calling cards.
Yeah.
Those are actually kind of modern.
The kids today they don't know a time before smartphones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I was kind of laughing about that. I was watching an old 1970s era Doctor Who last night, and they were, you know, they'd pick up the phone and call, but of course it was, they had to go to where there was a wired phone and pick it up and call. Mm-hmm. And of course the other person happened to be at the other phone at that time. And it was actually a rotary dial. So you hear them click, 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 you know, it's like, wow. Yeah. You can't just, so-and-so's in danger. Oh, we can't just call him on his cell phone and say, get out of there. You know,
yeah, you kids, you know, listening right now, the reason why we say dial a number is because we actually had a dial on the phone. You actually didn't push buttons.
Yeah, we have a lot of those anachronisms.
There are actual apps that put a rotary dial on your smartphone.
Why would you want to do that? I don't wish to relive that.
Just show kids that this was what it was like back in my day. I can't say that. We've always had touch tone phones, but still. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're the youngster amongst this bunch. I was reading a letter, you know, I was going through some of the things that my mom had collected over many years of my sister and my life. Including like high school diplomas and dean's list stuff and articles cut out from the newspapers and that kind of thing. And I found a letter in there that I had written to my parents when I was at Georgia Tech. And one of the things I said on there, you know, I can call after 11 o'clock when the rates go down. And I'm thinking, oh, that's right. Yeah, after 11, the long distance rates were cheaper.
See, I didn't remember the I'm young enough where we didn't really have the timed rates for long distance, but you know, I still had the, you know, on the cell phone where you had the evenings and weekends plan was a big deal because you could actually, you know, call after 7 and you wouldn't pay the minutes or something like that. Mm-hmm. Even that's gone by the wayside.
Yep.
Yeah.
Technology moves on.
I remember getting text message activation on my phone, and it was like 10 cents a text.
Yeah.
At about 11:30 before my birthday, 11:30 p.m., my brother started sending me a text message every minute.
Oh.
29 minutes to my...
Nice. Happy birthday.
40 or something like that. And at about the 11th text message that came in, John said, "Shut down your phone, and I'm going to call him at the house and tell him to stop that mess."
All right. You hear the music coming in the background. Sorry. It's part of our automated playlist. That means it's time for me to talk about fundraising for the StarQuest Production Network, and you can participate in financially backing the show and the network, actually, not just the show, by heading over to sqpn.com. There, you'll see a handy-dandy button to click on, and it says Donate or Become a Friend of SQPN or something like that. And there you can sign up to become a monthly contributor, or even a one-time contribution would be nice. Remember, we're coming up to the end of the year. It's almost, November's almost gone. We're in December, and that means that we're getting close to the close of 2015. And if you have thought about it, I try not to, but, you know, we have tax season coming up here. And if you haven't made all your contributions to various religious organizations and charitable organizations, etc., please consider donating some of that to the StarQuest Production Network. And if you do, in most cases, it's tax deductible because we are a 501c3 nonprofit. So, again, please consider us in your annual giving and become a friend of SQBN. And a lot of the people listening to the show right now are our friends, and we do appreciate them and their contributions to the network. If you'd like to do that and help us out when you do your Christmas shopping on Amazon.com, again, SQPN.com is the place to go. And that's where you click on the link for your region, your country, and then you go directly to Amazon.com and you make all of your wonderful purchases for your family and friends and yourself. You know, you gotta love yourself, right, before you can love somebody else. I think I've heard that somewhere. Probably not in the Bible, though. And
actually it is.
Is it? Okay, cool. I'm glad to hear that. It's funny. Sometimes we attribute things that are in the Bible, but really aren't. or maybe I'm the only one that does that. Anyway, getting back to Amazon.com, we do get a little bit of the percentage of the purchase, and it all adds up. So really do think of SQPN when you think of doing your shopping on Amazon. And then finally, if you are in need of a web hosting company, Bluehost.com is the place to go. We have several people at the StarQuest Production Network that use it for their own personal blog hosting. So please check out Bluehost by heading over to sqpn.com/Bluehost. Ta-da! Now, back to our regularly scheduled programming. Okay, play the crickets. So,
take it away.
How was your Thanksgiving celebration? Father Corey, did you go see your parents?
No, my parents actually came here. That's something they've been doing for the last few years, except for last year when I was in the Holy Land. They came here. It was great. We had a good visit. We cooked dinner here in the rectory, you know, turkey and all the good stuff there. And yeah, it was really nice. You know, it's always nice to have them come over and visit and, you know, just spend some time together. I mean, we really didn't do anything. We just, like I said, we ate. They showed up and we ate. And then the next day we got up and we ate. Of course, we had Mass, Thanksgiving Day Mass. And then we ate some more, you know, watched football, you know, typical American Thanksgiving Day, you know, nothing too fancy. But no, it's always nice to visit with my folks. Always good to have them here.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, excellent. It was a great Thanksgiving. I really enjoyed it.
And how was that roast pig, Miss Maria?
Oh my gosh, it was so much fun. We asked for a small pig, so because that Cajachina, that roaster that we use, is really built for like a 70-pound pig max.
Mm-hmm.
So I goes and picks up the pig, and he goes, It's over 80 pounds. I don't know what to do with it. So we had the butcher hack it for us into quarters. And so we only roasted half of it. And it was so good. And it was so much fun. Mm. It was good.
I can just imagine the way that smells.
It was a lot of meat. And we have a nice family tradition that we've been doing almost for 20 years, ever since we've lived here. The kids have always taken like a holiday ham or sometimes a turkey to the local fire department, which is just up the street from us. And so even the guys there look forward to us coming in because, you know, some, we take them a full dinner. Mm-hmm. And so this year we were going to take them a ham, and John was looking at all that pig and he says, oh, boy. So he stopped by the station to see the commander and asked him if they would accept, you know, something that was cooked instead of, you know, fully sealed and whatever. And he says, you're doing what? Yes.
Absolutely.
So he took one of those chunks over. It was good. We had a great time. All the kids are here, a couple of plus ones showing up, and it's just been a very, very nice, very nice family reunion.
Cool. Steve, tell us about your Thanksgiving.
Well, my sister and I took a friend of my aunt's out to where my aunt is living in assisted living, and we had Thanksgiving lunch there. Uh-huh. It was a nice time. The food wasn't the greatest, and I have not reached my pumpkin pie quota yet, but we had a nice time. Yeah, it was a nice time.
Linda fixed her the pumpkin chiffon pie. That is so good, so good. It's funny. We went over to my wife's brother's house and family up in Buford, Georgia, and Linda fixed that pumpkin chiffon, and there were a whole bunch of other desserts there, including a pumpkin pie. And I'm not sure if that was homemade or if it was something that somebody had picked up from Costco or whatever. But my son had a slice of it on his plate, and we were all sitting at the table, and I noticed that there was like a tiny little bite of it that was taken away from it, but then he didn't touch the rest of it. He's like, I think he was thinking that that was the pie that his mom had made, and then he realized immediately that it was not, and so just kind of sat there. It was kind of like, let me take that away because everybody's staring at this piece of pie that you're not eating.
That was tragic. That was tragic.
I know. Yes. I felt so bad because I thought somebody had that there had made the thing, and I'm thinking, this is not good. You need to like suck it up and eat it, or let's move it out of the way because it's not good.
No, I'm just thinking about how tragic, you know, when you go to take a bite of something and it's not, or a taste of something, and it's not a wah-wah that you have. What is
it? Oh, my sound effects? Wah-wah-wah-wah. Yeah. Wah-wah-wah. Yeah, like all of a sudden I'm not hungry.
What kind of pie was it?
Yeah.
Huh?
What kind of pie was
that
it?
That was a pumpkin.
Oh.
You know, how can you screw up a pumpkin pie? So, I don't know.
Right. Well, but if it was a traditional pumpkin pie and he was expecting the chiffon, you know, it's a different taste.
Oh, yeah.
Texture.
Absolutely.
And
yeah. The real pumpkin pie is like a dense, you know, gelatinous kind of consistency, I would say. Right? Is that?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I have to admit that pie is my kryptonite.
Yeah, we know you love pie.
I wouldn't have turned away the pie that Chris didn't want to eat.
Oh, you would have loved the Ingrid.
I love pie.
Ingrid was there, and she's an amazing baker, and she like made this apple pie like from scratch, and the crust was like all through the bottom of it, and then all over the top of it, all homemade crust with the.
Ooh,
oh, you would have been in heaven, Steve.
One of the ladies that works for me makes the best cherry pie I've ever had. And whenever I'm, you know, upset or down about something or have a special occasion, she'll bring one of those in. And it's just like a ray of sunshine. I just love it.
It's like, is Steve on drugs? No, he's eating that pie.
Yeah. He's
eating pie.
All right. Well, it sounds like everybody had a pretty nice Thanksgiving. I know some of you listening are not from the United States and don't celebrate Thanksgiving, but it's kind of a cool holiday here, the classic fall holiday that we have in the country. switching over to the church calendar, we are coming up on, well, I guess the Vigil Mass today will mark the first day of the next year, right? Liturgical year?
Yep. Exactly.
Okay. Advent, the first Sunday of Advent is, well, if you're going to go to the Vigil Mass tonight, it's tonight or tomorrow. Yep. Anything to say about that, Father?
Well, I always kind of comment is this is a good time. You know, everybody talks about New Year's resolutions. Well, if you want to make a spiritual new start on something, this is a good time as any. Of course, any day is a good time to do a spiritual new start, you know. But if you want an excuse, well, hey, it's the new liturgical year, the new spiritual year. Why not? And by the way, the color is purple. It's not blue. I don't know why priests started wearing blue for Advent. I don't know where that came from. It's kind of a personal pet peeve of mine, because we've got a lot of blue vestments around here, because priests started doing that. Yeah, it drives me nuts.
Like the Mary blue, like that lime
blue.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, it's like it's kind of a darker. I've seen different colors of blue. Actually, we've got one vestment that it could be purple, it could be, or you know, it could be violet, it could be blue. It's hard to tell. It depends on the light you're under, which color it is. It's kind of that dark. Mm-hmm. That's just a personal pet peeve of mine. But, you know, moving on from that, it's, you know, Advent is always a season that everybody looks forward to because, of course, it's preparing for Christmas. You know, you get the Advent wreath out. You, O Come Emmanuel, you can start singing, you know, stuff like that. It's a good time to pray and you know, reflect and prepare for Christmas. I love some of the spiritual devotion books that come out during Advent, you know. You know, example would be Magnificat always puts out a great one every year. I love their prayer books that they put out, you know, what do they call it? Advent Companion. Magnificat Advent Companion. We get those here at the church every year, and I always like using those as well. In fact, my dad was reading mine here yesterday. He was kind of looking through it, and he said that he was enjoying the article on what Christmas was like for St. Wenceslaus in the land of St. Wenceslaus, which is the Czech Republic. Well, he's 100% Czech, you know, so I'm half Czech, half Scandinavian, basically Scandinavian German. So, you know, he was really kind of enjoying that, seeing what Christmas was like in the old country, if you will, you know, and you know, things like that. And it's just, you know, it's a wonderful reflection. There's other ones out there. I know what diocese is that in Michigan that always puts out the reflections every year? They always put out the blue books and the red books and the white books and all those. Actually, of course, you know, silly thing. I could actually look in the show notes where it got in there. you know, silly things like, but you know, there's different little reflection books. Word Among Us do it. Diocese of Saginaw, that's what it is. They've got their liturgical season books they do, and they've got one for Advent. And it's just, it really should be a time for us, you know, maybe to be a little bit more solemn. It's not as penitential a season as Lent is, but it should still be a time where we're doing a little bit more prayer, a little bit more reflection, a little more preparation, because the call is to be ready. You know, that's the readings are doing. The readings are get ready. Our Lord is coming. You know.
Yeah. I wish people would be able to take more time with the Advent reflections, because it always seems like Christmas is the goal line, you know, and it's all this preparation and all this distractions and all the parties and everything. And there's not a lot of preparation for Christmas the way there is for Easter. And I think, you know, but I have to say though, I've not found the right recipe either.
Well, you know what? And the thing is that you're in different seasons of your life and things just happen and, or don't happen, and they don't facilitate some of those things. But we started using a few years ago, you were talking about resources, Lisa Hendy's book. It's a little pamphlet. It's a teeny weeny little book, and it's called A Radiant Dawn. And it's and the subtitle is 5-Minute Prayers Around the Advent Wreath. And I just pulled it out for John and I to use for Advent. And the thing that I like about it is that we put it next to the candles. And we always light the candle, and it depends on how much, I'm sorry, I've been talking so much with all the kids here. It depends on really our mood or our availability or our ability in that moment to focus on whether we want to actually pull out scripture and do, you know, like a full-blown meditation or if we just want to read the daily prayer. But it's set up in such a fantastic way that you get to choose how you're going to do it. So it works the same for us. You know, we're older and have the patience. And we also, I think, are at the place where we have a more robust, you know, I don't know what to call it. Not spirituality, but
waistline.
Shut up.
I do. I know I do.
Well, yeah, it depends. If dinner's really good, he's like, can you just cut to the chase with the prayer? But a more robust devotion. But is what I was going for. But it's great for little kids too, because you can do whatever your needs are with this book. And it's so inexpensive. And in fact, now that I think about it, I think I'm just going to buy a bunch and just give them to some friends for Advent, because it really kind of turned around for us how to approach it. Because when we've picked up other books or we've picked up other programs to follow, you know, for the Advent season, it kind of like falls away because we feel like, oh, it's too much. And we you know, once you break the habit, you feel like, at least I do, like, oh man, I ruined it. Why bother? And so this one, it's the discipline of, okay, well, we can go long or we can go short on this, but we can do something. So that's why I like it.
Well, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. What was the name of it again?
It's called O Radiant Dawn, the O Antiphons.
Yep. Yeah.
By who? Who is that person you I think I've heard
the
of.
Diva herself.
It's good. Yeah.
You know, one thing I love about Advent, I haven't gotten the habit of this, but the fact there is kind of that anticipation aspect to it, and, you know, doing things like the Advent calendars, mm-hmm. Where you every day you open a door or you know, and of course now it's gone to the 21st century, so you pull up the app and you click on the door to open the next reflection, you know, or the next thing, you know, the USCCBs, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, they've got one on their website that's really pretty good. It really reflects on how do we live our faith, you know, during this Advent season, how do we live our faith? So, yeah, it talks about things about praying more and being involved in our faith more, but also talks about stuff that's more issues of justice. Like I know one of the days coming up, it talks about, you know, racism in our world, racism in our country. How do we deal with people like migrants? How do we deal with poverty in our country? Things like that. You know, it's a time for us to not only look at ourselves and focus on what we want, but also look at how we're living our faith to serve others. You know, so that's another good thing. Yeah, so of course, then there's more traditional Advent calendars, you know, where you've got a chocolate or, you know, I remember, was it last year, Father Roderick got the Star Wars Lego Advent calendar. Yeah. He's really geeking out over that. I'd like to get, actually, Father Daryl, if you're listening, you need to get one of the beer Advent calendars because they're only available in Saskatchewan and Alberta. You need to get that and get that for us. Tell us what it's like.
That's cool.
But no, that's kind of a neat tradition, though, kind of that counting down and anticipation every day, having that little bit of, you know, taking that little bit of time to do the next day of the calendar.
Absolutely.
I was reminiscing about the Advent calendar we had as a child growing up, and it was one of these cardboard things, and it was so dog-eared that, you know, some of the little doors were falling off, but then we had them like taped back on, and we just kept using the same one over and over again. That's finally funny. Just useless anymore. I like the ones now that come with chocolate behind the little doors.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the kind we had, that and like little things that you could hang up on a tree or something.
Yep.
Yeah. That was always exciting. You're right. That builds up that anticipation.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. I remember Greg and Jennifer Willits, they started Jesse Tree.
I think, that's right.
Their kids. Mm-hmm. A long time ago. I wonder if they still do that. We never did that. I don't have a history of that.
Yeah, we didn't either.
Yeah, I wasn't too familiar with that practice either till I saw them do it. I'd heard of it, but I really wasn't familiar with it. You know, it's something that we never really did either. You know, it's kind of a neat tradition.
Well, so, we went yesterday and cut down our Christmas tree because all the kids were here and they really just wanted to do it. And we were like, great, okay.
You said you
so
put it up.
So we went out. So we put it up. So uh-huh. It's sitting there. It's just got lights on it mm-hmm. because I didn't want to put the lights on it. So I said, you do it. And so we've got our Christmas tree. It's our Advent tree. It's only got little candles on it.
That's cool.
Okay, can we call it that? Can we call it
your Advent tree? Tree?
Sure,
yeah.
Sure.
If that makes you feel better, sure.
Yeah. I went. I also was spit on by Clyde the Christmas camel.
I saw that picture of you and the camel.
Okay, so what does that mean? You need to elaborate a little bit, I think. Who is Clyde the Christmas camel?
So we go to this Christmas tree farm that's out in another county close to us, and the kids cut down the Christmas tree. It's a farm. It's not like you're going into the woods, but it's a lot of fun. And you know, it's a family tradition we've had for 20 years. So we go out in the pickup truck and the kids ride in the back of the pickup truck. And, you know, we drive through the fields. And as we pulled in over the past several years, they added a Santa Claus and some other things. And I wasn't paying attention because we went in two trucks this time because, you know, the kids are out of the house. They're on their own, and so they were going to get trees for themselves too. But of course, we had to get the tree for our house. And so we go, and we're walking along the rows of trees, you know, trying to find the perfect tree. And our oldest daughter says to me, "Let's speed this up because I want to go back and ride the camel." Like, first of all, you hauled us out to do this. So you better go find the tree that you want to hug so we can cut it down. So the two guys ended up having to cut down the trees as we stared and took pictures. And put the camel thing, I don't know. I guess I thought she was saying something silly. And as we're going back to the trucks with the trees, she says, "Oh, good, now I can go ride the camel."
And she was serious.
And I'm like, what are you talking about? I said, "You rode an." She says, "Have I ever ridden a camel?" She says to me, and I'm like, "You rode an elephant." She goes, "Really?" And I said, "Oh, I remember that because I had to ride the elephant for you to be able to ride the elephant because it was small." And and she's like, "No, I'm going to ride a camel." And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" She says, "There's a camel back there for camel rides." So,
like a real big camel.
Did you not see the picture?
I didn't see the picture. No.
Oh, there's a picture of me with a camel, and it's on my Facebook, whatever picture, and so we go. Well, it turns out that you couldn't ride the camel, but they had a petting zoo, and you could pet the camel. And the camel's name was Clyde, and the owner would say, "Clyde, give him a kiss," and the camel would just go blap and just go lick your face. She had a ponytail, so the camel he chewed on her ponytail, so I got a picture of that for her.
Oh, that's gonna smell good.
I didn't post any of the pictures. Oh gosh, everybody, when we got home, I said, "All right, tips on the shower." Everybody wash your hands.
Yeah.
But there were two llamas, and the llama spit on her.
That's funny.
It made the whole weekend for me. I'm that mom. The camel's name was Clyde. So I said, "Here we are." Number one, we were in t-shirts because it was so warm, picking out a Christmas tree, and Clyde the camel. I don't know what to tell you.
Sounds nice. Hey, guess what?
What?
You have new mail waiting.
Ooh.
Yeah. We have mail.
What was that?
You've been playing with the sound effects again.
Yes. I guess you heard that. That's good. Because I had to do a certain little knob on my mixer to make sure you can all hear that. We received some feedback from Daniel Smrakowski, the Special Chronicles podcast host, and he says, "Hi, Jeff, Maria, Steve, and Father Corey. Hope you are having a great Thanksgiving holiday and a great start to the Advent season this coming weekend. Here's an article that I read and I thought you all and other CW listeners will enjoy it too. It's a hospital photo series that reminds us of the real meaning of Thanksgiving. Hope to talk to you all again soon. Take care and God bless. Daniel." So Daniel, always good to hear from you. And his show is going on strong, and that's good to hear. And the article that to which he refers is from themighty.com. And the title of the article is "Hospitals Photo Series Reminds Us of the Real Meaning of Thanksgiving." And in the days leading up to Thanksgiving this year, the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta Hospital asked its patients about the things they're most thankful for. Their answers ranged from simple things like snuggles with the hospital therapy dog to monumental things like a new heart or the ability to be discharged. Not a single one of them mentioned material items like toys, clothes, or fancy technological devices. And so here are some pictures here, and we'll have a link in the show notes if you want to check it out yourself. But one kid, Gabe, here is holding up a little notebook that says, "Out of ICU." So that's what he is thankful for. He's no longer in the intensive care unit. And then here's a young lady, Megan. She's thankful for her cuddles with Izzy. I guess that's one of the dogs they have there in the hospital. And here's a cute one with a mom holding her infant child. And I guess her name's Laura Annabeth. And her first child was recovering from heart surgery. And she's thankful for the, I guess, children's intensive care unit. Yeah. Is that what CSU is?
Cardiac.
Oh, okay. And God's grace. So there are another one. Here's a Justin with a great smile. Justin's holding up a card that says, "For not dying." Now, you know,
oh yeah, I saw that one. That broke my heart.
Yeah. But I mean, that's serious. I mean, like, I think, you know, we think about all the things in our lives that are, you know, so horrible, you know, and our lives are so miserable. But then you think about these poor children and in really serious medical conditions. And
exactly.
Yeah, it really puts a exclamation point on Thanksgiving and thankfulness. And so thank you, Daniel, for sending in that feedback. We do appreciate it. If you want to send in feedback, you can send it to catholicweekend@sqpn.com. So, and then I can play that neat sound effect again. Okay. No, I mean in a future episode when you send in feedback. Yep. Okay. Let's see. The other thing I was going to mention is I was driving to work yesterday afternoon, got called out on a quick overnight down to Panama City, Florida. And by the way, nice down there. Really nice. I mean, it was like in the upper 70s and just beautiful. The hotel that we stay in is like right on the beach. And they give us a 75% discount on not only just food items, but food and drink.
Oh, sweet. Boy. So you sat on the beach and had some drinks.
So we went up to the bar and I said, you know, what kind of beers do you have? Well, first of all, we had a one free drink coupon to start with. And so she's digging through the things and she's going, Bud Light, you know, Coors, good. You know, I'm going, well, at least it's free. And then she said something like High Lie. And I went, excuse me? And that's my favorite IPA. Father Corey knows
really?
That. It's a Cigar City in Tampa called High Lie IPA. And I said, you have got to be kidding me. And she said, no, I have like four cans in here. And so after I got my free one, I went and had another one. And I said, so that's 75% off? She goes, yeah, that's like $1.20.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
That's actually cheaper than you can buy it in the store.
Yeah.
Because it's like a six pack of it's like $10.99.
So did you buy the other two cans right there?
Yeah, no. Well, as far as you know, I should have. Actually, I didn't think of it until I got back to my room and I started doing the math in my head going, wait a minute. That's cheaper than I can get it for in a package store.
You could have bought it, just throw it in your luggage.
I know, I should have, but I didn't. Anyway, so, but the point of this is not my, you know, my short time in Panama City at the beach, but the driving to the airport, I was listening to American Public Radio or PRI or NPR, one of those things on the on that channel, and they had a series going on called "The Science of Gratitude." Have you heard about that or heard listened to it? It's narrated by Susan Sarandon, but it talks about how people are happier when they have gratitude toward others and thankful. They have thankful behavior and they have helpful behavior, and these people are the happiest people based on all these scientific studies. And there's something that happens with people's brains when they express thankfulness and everything else. And, you know, I know, Maria, you know all about that because you have participated and probably still do in the Grateful Tweets program on Twitter. Is that still going on?
I still do.
Yeah. And
I don't know that I...
You know what?
I think Matt Swain's up to like, well, I don't know. It's just, I think Matt Swain might be up to like 2,000 or something by now.
Wow.
But people were numbering people. Originally, they were numbering the Grateful Tweet. I just make sure that my second or third tweet of the day is gratitude for something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a good thing to do.
Yeah, it is. It was really, really well done.
I'm sorry I've missed it.
Yeah, well, I think that it's probably something that I'll see if I can find a link to it, and you can listen to it after the fact. In fact, I'm afraid to play the play button here because I'm not sure exactly what it is that I'm looking at here, but I think that this is the program called The Science of Gratitude, and it's I'll put a Mike, who's doing our show notes today, in Lynn's absence, I'll put a link in the doc so that we can link to it. I'll make sure that this is what I was talking about first, though, before we do. But I just thought that just came into my head. We were talking about Thanksgiving and being thankful and that whole thing. And it's it was really interesting. Very well done documentary. Okay. Well, with that, I think it's now time for this.
The Picks of the Week.
And we are grateful for Pat Gohm.
Yes.
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 All right. Yes. Who would like to go first? I'd be happy and thankful if somebody went first.
I can go first.
Okay. Thank you.
So my pick of the week is actually, I don't know if, you know, of course, Father Roderick and Dom Bettinelli are the hosts of Secrets of Star Wars. And I don't know if they know about this one. If they don't, I'm going to make sure they know about it here pretty quick. So there's a Korean webtoons artist who has gotten permission, and it's official from Lucasfilms, to do a webtoons remake of the original Star Wars trilogy, the original three movies. But it's not done by exact, you know, it's not like he just took the plot of the movies, you know, the script of the movies, and is doing it exactly word for word, step by step. He's kind of taking his own little spin on the whole story. And it's really neat because, I mean, I've only gotten through a couple of the chapters so far. There's currently 18 chapters out there. But it looks like he's taking more of a reflective, you know, of Luke Skywalker's life, kind of be more reflective on that. And it's really kind of interesting. I mean, it's really neat. It was originally done in, originally being done in South Korea. But now there's a website here in the United States. I think it's here in the United States. That's actually doing a English translation of it, so it's English instead of Korean, and it's really neat. It's kind of neat. It's kind of anime style artwork, very interesting. I mean, it's kind of neat to look at. So I had to check that out, and I think it's worth checking out. I think it's kind of a lot of fun, kind of neat idea again to take a story that we know so well, like the Star Wars story, and to kind of reconsider it and to do it in a little bit different way.
Well, I'm looking at the website right now, and when you first said webtoons, I thought of T-U-N-E-S, like iTunes, webtoons. I'm thinking, music? What are you talking about here? Yeah. But I guess you mean like cartoons.
Cartoons,
like
web cartoons. Sorry.
Okay.
Should be clear about that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just, yeah, I guess you're...
Comics is another phrase you might hear.
That's neat. Yeah, I'm looking at this webpage and some pretty cool art.
Yeah, it is.
Nice. Okay, that's a cool pick. We'll have to take a look
this. Yeah, that looks like something my kids would like to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Excellent. All right. Thank you, Father Corey. Steve, would you like to go next?
Sure. I don't know if anybody's brought this up or not, but there's a new book out called The Shepherd Who Didn't Run. I have it right here, if you can see.
Oh, nice.
And it's the first biography of Father Stanley Rother, who is up for canonization. He's an Oklahoma priest that was killed in Guatemala. And I know I've talked about him a number of times on the show, but this is like one of the first official biographies that have come out. It's by Maria Ruiz Scafarlanda. And Maria, I think you know about this book, right?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I am. In fact, Maria had endorsed my book, and so she's Cuban, and we started a nice little correspondence, and I met her this past summer. Mm. So that book, I mean, I'm going to read the book to, number one, to support her, but because you've talked about him before on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Father Rother was an Oklahoma priest that was a missionary in Guatemala for the Diocese of Oklahoma. And he was killed in the rectory of the church down there by paramilitary people. So I became very familiar with him when I was taking students down there on spring break trips. And it's kind of weird, but I feel like I have an affinity for him, you know, a friendship with him, even though I never met him or anything, but I feel a connection after all those trips. And so I was really interested in reading this biography, and I've just started it, but, you know, I'm finding out new things that I never knew. And so if you're interested, I would certainly pick it up. So it's called The Shepherd Who Didn't Run by Maria Ruiz Scafarlanda.
Neat.
And it's published by Our Sunday Visitor.
All
Very
right.
Interesting. That's my pick.
Great pick.
That's a good pick.
Well, speaking of good picks, Maria.
Oh, yeah. I have a really great pick. or am I just a great pick?
You are. Oh. You are. That's what I was kind of hinting at.
So well, my pick of the week is it's kind of a combo, because my pick of the week is actually the Parish Council of Catholic Women, which I think just about every parish has one. Mm-hmm. But I linked to the National Council of Catholic Women, because otherwise then I would just link to my personal parish's council. And I love this organization. It's just a great place for all the parish women to come together and share their gifts and have community. But one of the things that they do is Advent by Candlelight, which is a program that's put on in each parish by each one of the councils. And it's a, you know, it's a night of reflection, but it's so cool, because at least the way that we do it in our parish is that a group of women will buy a table and then decorate the table with candlelight. And so it's really neat, because you walk through the parish hall on the evening, and each table is decorated differently, because like some women go all out and bring like their china and their crystal and their silver. Our decorations last year were random and fun, because we just had a random and fun group. And so the idea was, we're not going to set they gave us a theme, angel decorations. ours was kind of kitschy and hodgepodge, but it's fun. But some of the women that were like candelabras and things like that, and then we all bring food to share, and we did coordinate that so that we had savory and sweet, and that everybody brought pie, although I think Steve would have been happy with that.
I was gonna say, where's the problem with that?
but my point is, look into your parish's PCCW and see if they're hosting an Advent by Candlelight, and go, because it's delightful. And I'm actually speaking. I'm the speaker this year at our parish, which is a real blessing for me. And that's going to be next week, next Saturday. But yeah, check it out, because I kind of always looked at it with, not with a stink eye, but like, what is this? And then I went and I fell in love with it. And I'm sure Wonderful. You will too.
That's good to hear. Now, I don't know if you realize this, but I'm our Diocesan Council of Catholic Women spiritual advisor.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's kind of funny when you mention that. It's like, oh, yeah, I recognize this.
Very cool. Thank you, Maria. And speaking of cool, one of our community members and big supporters is John Clem. A lot of the things that we talk about on our show is based upon a lot of his, what does he call them, sweet tweets?
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, he is wanting us to talk about Mercy Hour. And each day, of course, you all know that the Holy Year of Mercy starts on December 8th of this year. And each day, God willing, during this Holy Year of Mercy, two secular Franciscans, Deacon Tom Bellow and John Clem, are offering a minor but daily sustenance for our coming common pilgrimage closer to Christ and to salvation. They will also be featuring some guest bloggers during this Jubilee Year of Mercy. This website is mobile-friendly and hope that you find and share inspiration. So you can sign up for daily emails, and you can do that by going over to this site, which we'll have a link to in the show notes, mercyhour.org, and you can subscribe to the email. And each day from December 8th through November 20th of next year, you will receive a Mercy Hour email at 3 p.m., because that's the hour of mercy. And share your works of mercy in Mercy Corner, which is also on the site. You can share your prayers and find a supportive community during this Jubilee Year of Mercy. You can follow them on Facebook and Twitter, and they're going to be linking to more resources during the Jubilee Year of Mercy, again, which starts December 8th, 2015. So check out mercyhour.org and support John Clem and Deacon Tom Bellow's efforts to engage our community.
Hmm. So sounds great.
Thank you, John, for that. I'll sign up as soon as the show is over. All right. Let's see. Father Corey Stika, if you want to hear some great homilies, head over to, what is it, Laudate Dominum?
Yep. Praise the Lord. That's what it means in Latin. FrCorey.org is where I post those every week, or try to post them every week. I also can be found Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that kind of fun stuff at Fr Corey Stika, last name spelled Stica.
Excellent. And Miss Maria Johnson, you can find her at Maryam Johnson. Maria, I'm sorry, I never get tired of having fun with that.
I don't either. I don't get tired of looking at it and thinking it.
MariaMJohnson.com, and there you'll find the some of the wonderful writings of our dear friend and Catholic author, Maria Johnson. And of course, yeah, how's your book going? Book sales?
It's going really well. Yeah, buy my book. It's got some random price on Amazon now, like $11.51 or something. Who prices these things?
Make sure you go to the SQPN.com Amazon link first, and then go over there and buy one of those.
That's
buy,
right.
Buy five, or buy 10.
Buy a bunch. Follow the link at Maryam Johnson. It's already linked to the it's linked to the SQPN storefront.
Awesome.
Follow me at Bago as well.
Awesome. Steve, tell us about your site and how we can follow you as well.
Everything is Esteban.com. And you can, if you go there, you can find the links to all the other usual places. But Steve_Nelson at Twitter.
All right. And finally, I am I do the aviation show Airline Pilot Guy, and you can find me at Airline Pilot Guy and AirlinePilotGuy.com. And hope everybody has a great start of the new liturgical year, Advent. And we'll be talking more about Advent as we progress through the season and approach Christmas. And until then, wishing you a wonderful Catholic weekend. Take care. And God bless.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.